Welcome to the Aging Confidently podcast. I am so glad you're here. I'm Karen Weaver, your host, and today's guest is Ashley Bickerstaff. She owns Style Envy, which is a concierge personal wardrobe styling service. Say that three times fast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being my inaugural guest for the Aging Confidently podcast. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for asking. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, great. So before we get started talking about styling, let's talk a little bit about you. For me, learning about other people's stories definitely inspires my own. So just tell us a little bit about kind of how you got to where you are today.
So basically, I'm from Greenville, and I am the mother of two children, married to Lindsay. And I have, my son is now almost 19 and my daughter's 14. So I have two teenagers at home, which is just a crazy day every
day.
So fun, but crazy every day. And it's been interesting when I look back and see kind of where I started as a new wife, a young mom. Now I consider myself somewhat seasoned, but I still have a long ways to go. So Style Envy was kind of born out of the fact that our son has exceptional needs, and we had agreed when we got married that I would be a stay-at-home mom. So that was the plan all along. So when Neil was born with a genetic disorder, he required a lot of medical attention, a lot of therapies, a lot of doctor's appointments. And so I really would not have had the opportunity to work outside of the home. So it worked out perfectly as planned. But as he continued to get, you know, more and more as matured and developed, he had less therapies, less sicknesses. We had a little girl, Murphy, that came along. And I really felt like I needed to do something for myself outside of the home. But the main thing was, where could I go to work for somebody? But, oh, sorry, I got to be out of here by 9:30 and then come back. I needed the flexibility to care for my family. So that's where Style Envy came in.
It's amazing what women can do. I mean, you can start any business. You know, you find something you love, and you can start a business and be your own boss, and then you get to have your own schedule. It's a great transition for
it
sure.
It is.
Yep. So I know when we talked last week to kind of prep for this interview, you had said you were on your way to meet with a 60-year-old client that had, I guess, called you. Or so how do people find you, and then how does that process work?
So my business, I will be in business 12 years in February, and I'm referral-based only. I do not have a website. You can contact me through email. You can contact me through a phone number, through an existing client. But because of the nature of being a female and going to people's homes, there's a safety component to it that I always am mindful of. And so she's an existing client that I work with, you know, from time to time. I have the most amazing clients, men, women, and children. And she called me. She's like, I'm just in a rut. I'm in my 60s now, and things aren't fitting right, and I don't need to look like my daughter, you know, who's 23. What do I do? So we had the best meeting, because when I had met with her before 2 years ago, and a lot of them will rotate in and out. Some I work with every season. It just varies from client to client. But she wasn't in that mode. I mean, she was still, everything was still in check. And, you know, as women, we age and our middle starts to spread and things just start to, gravity takes over, and we just have to do what we have to do. So it was a great appointment. And by the time I left there, I mean, she was on cloud nine.
That's great.
Just learning how to dress her new figure. The age and stage where she was, it's all about the grandchildren now. It's not so much, you know, being able to go to every Clemson football game. We're more, you know, spending time at the lake with the grandchildren. So I think as women, as we go through the cycles of life, it ebbs and flows with what our needs are, not just in our clothing, but in everything we do.
So for that particular client, what did you tell her? What was, with our figures kind of changing as we get older, what are some practical, we could just even start with that 60-year-old client since you just met with her, and kind of work backwards or however we want to do it. But what was the practical advice that you gave her?
The thing for her is the way her body is shaped. There are certain clothing items that can give her the most flattering silhouette. And that's what I do with all my clients, no matter what age they are. But we always focus on body shape first. And you want to accentuate the positives, downplay the not as positives. And so for her, with her carrying her weight in her middle, she had great legs, long legs, toned legs. So what we did was we put her in like a more of a fitted pant, and maybe not a too flowy top, but one that kind of skimmed the body and wasn't terribly fitted, that so that she felt good and it wasn't really showing off the areas where she was starting to gain some weight.
Yeah.
And so it's really about having the a uniform. It's just got to be the right uniform.
Right.
And so for her, we were able to kind of go through her closet and show her, these pants are good. Please get rid of these. Don't ever buy them again. I'm very forthright. Yeah. I don't hold back. Yeah. And so we were able to kind of guide through what she had, put looks together. And then I made a little laundry list of things that she needed to get, where those voids and gaps were. And she was so happy when I left, and I was happy. And it's just the best feeling to help people be the best version of themselves. And like you were talking about, you know, when you love what you do, you don't ever work a day in your life. Mm-hmm. And I feel that way now that I did, you know, 12 years ago.
Well, I think so many of us look at our closet packed full of clothes. And just this morning, I'm like, I have nothing to wear, mm-hmm. but I have everything to wear. But I don't know how to put it together. So I think I need to have you come look at my closet. I love your tagline that your closet, I mean, your office is women's closets.
Yeah.
Or it could be or a
boutique or a store. Yeah. It really is. And I think going back to what you said about having too much, mm-hmm. it really muddies the waters.
Yes.
I mean, you can have a closet jam-packed full of clothes and have nothing to wear. That's what I hear a lot of times when I get a phone call for a new client. It's out of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go through and we try on and we keep the best of the best and the rest we get rid of. I don't care if you paid $400 for that blouse. If it looks horrible on you, you're not keeping it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Go consign
yeah,
it. Right?
Yeah. Go consign. Let somebody else enjoy it who yep. it looks great on.
Right.
And so when people are paying me, you know, they're not paying me to just like, you know, sugarcoat everything. They want the truth. That's and right. I have no problem giving the truth.
That's what we want, because yeah. you ask your girlfriends, like, it looks good, or your husband, oh, it looks fine. I mean, do they really know anyway?
No.
But maybe some of them. But you need that honest opinion.
Well, and you know what else I tell women is, you go on these little trips, girls' trips to Atlanta, Charlotte to go shopping. Please don't shop together.
Right.
You all show up at the same place. You pick a time. You take 2 hours and you spread out and you do your own shopping, because somebody is going to tell you that something looks good when it doesn't, because they just feel guilty that they paid $3 for a pair of shoes and you haven't bought anything yet. And then you come home with all these things that you will never wear and you wasted money and then you get frustrated. So women do not shop together for major purchases.
That is a great piece of
yes.
advice.
Divide and conquer.
Right.
Always.
Always.
Yeah.
So what are some staple pieces? I think, you know, most of my audience is probably 40 and on up,
yeah.
you know, the people, the women I'm catering
where
to,
are.
Where we are,
yeah.
exactly. And, you know, things are changing. I see Facebook posts all the time from women that say, you know, I want to be cute, but not too cute, and sexy, but not too sexy. And so do you have some just general guidelines that you can, you know, give our audience that
sure.
they could, when they're shopping, they can actually kind of keep those in the back of their mind?
One thing that I encourage people to do is buy the best you can afford. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to buy one pair of black pants, you buy the best black pants you can afford, because they're going to be a workhorse in your wardrobe. You're going to wear them time and time again. Oftentimes, if you find a black pant that fits well and that you love, buy two pair. You know, you can never go wrong with having something to rotate, and then they'll last longer. Another thing is just knowing what your body shape is. I would say probably the biggest challenge that clients have when they call me initially is not knowing how to dress their shape.
Sure.
And I think there's so many little tips and tricks that you can learn that helps you to not just miss the mark, but knock it out of the park every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who doesn't want to look fabulous all the time?
All the time. Even when you're running errands. And I mean, I think the mom uniform is the jeans and a comfy shirt, right?
As long as it's the right jeans and the right shirt, I'm good with it.
Exactly.
It's just gotta be right.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. yeah. And so, you know, going back to what should you have, I think a lot of it depends on lifestyle. I would love to wear a Chanel suit into a boardroom every day. That is not my lifestyle, right? So, for example, for a mom on the go, you know, we got to have the cute look, the jeans, the top, the shoes. It's a good look, and you look like you've taken time to get yourself ready for the day. And I don't care if you are going to a PTA meeting or if you're going to a board meeting or out to lunch, you need to always look and feel your best.
And that's part of aging confidently.
It is.
It really
it
is. You just... And people may say, well, I don't have the time, right? But it doesn't take much time.
This is my pushback.
Okay.
When somebody says, I don't have time to get dressed, let me tell you something. It takes just as much time to put those yoga pants on and t-shirt as it does a skirt and a top. You know, it's just planning.
Yeah.
It's just planning. And as women, we don't make ourselves a priority. It's always the children, the family, the work. And so another tip that I tell my clients all the time is look at your agenda for the week, or if not just for the day, look at your day. Go ahead, pick out your outfit based on what your agenda says you're doing and have it ready. If you want to try a new combination of something, you have time that night to try it on rather than do it the next day. You're flustered. You've got a kid who's got to, you know, get their lunch made. You just don't have time. And so by planning ahead, then you have that time and you feel great.
That is a great tip. So other than black pants, what's next?
A sheath dress.
Okay.
And I love navy. Like, I'm wearing black today. I don't wear black very often, but I say navy is black's favorite second cousin because it's usually very just flattering to most skin types, but a sheath dress of some sort that you could, you know, wear to a meeting, you could wear to a funeral, you could change out the jewelry and wear it to a wedding. So I think it's all about the fit. There again, if you, for example, I have broader shoulders, narrow waist, and hips. So for me, a fit and flare is always the style I'm going to wear.
So fit and then flare
yes,
at the bottom.
Yes, fit it at the waist and flares out from the bottom and kind of skims the hips. Mm-hmm. But if you have somebody who's built where they carry their weight in the middle, where they're round, they're better off with just a sheath, a straight dress, where you'd want to dress the biggest part. So say you have a larger bust line, you might carry your weight in your tummy. You fit the largest part first, and then your best friend Taylor, that everybody needs to have, will take it in the shoulders or the leg line or wherever. Because typically, if you carry your weight here, you have really straight, narrow hips and legs.
Right.
So it's just a matter of, then it goes back to knowing your shape and knowing how to dress it. So a sheath dress is another option that I think, another a great pair of jeans. Right now, people ask me all the time, what's the leg line? What's the style? And it really goes back to what's best for you. However, this season, we are finding that most jeans are going to be of a straight cut. But that doesn't mean that you can't wear the flare, that you can't wear the skinny, you can't wear the crop flare. It's just what goes back that works best for you. So you may have one jean that you can wear like a little bit dressier in the evening or going out, and then one during the day when you're out running around and getting your errands done. Another thing is a white blouse. I love a sharp, crisp white blouse. And the thing that's so wonderful nowadays, and this is what I own, are the non-iron blouses. Yep. That they keep, you pop that collar, you put the cuffs back. I mean, you put that seat belt on, you get out, and you still look amazing. You're not a hot mess. So a lot of stores like Chico's, Lands' End, Brooks Brothers has a great white non-iron blouse. Mm-hmm. That's another option. A great coat. You can hide a multitude of sins underneath a great coat, girl, let me tell you. Really, because you can wear it with pants, you can wear it with jeans, but if you're running late and you've got to meet somebody, you throw that coat on, you button it up, and you don't show anything underneath, and you go and you look fabulous. So that's another great piece. A pair of nude pumps. A lot of people say, why nude? Nude elongates the leg line. The key to finding a nude pump is something that is close to your skin tone. So when you have that sheath dress on or your pencil skirt, you have that leg line that goes all the way up. It's not distracting, whereas if you did maybe a black shoe, it just kind of cuts you off.
Yep.
So especially those of us who are vertically challenged,
yes.
It's a good must-have. Mm-hmm. And then a great handbag, too. I mean, let me tell you something. When you walk into a restaurant and you see a woman, what do you look at?
What's on the chair, right?
When you see her, when you see her walk in the door, what is the first thing you notice about her?
Yeah, probably what's underneath her arm.
Shoes and a handbag.
Shoes and a handbag. Absolutely.
Yeah. Women dress for each other.
Listen, that because I was saying this to somebody else the other day. I said, women don't get Botox for their husbands. They get it for other women. And so it was so funny you said that because I even told my husband too. I was like, women dress for other women. We don't dress for men. So
the greatest compliment comes from women.
That's right.
I'm here to tell you. So put your money in your shoes and your handbag.
And I'm guilty. I will say, as I'm flipping through stuff, I'm like, what would so-and-so think if I bought that? Like, you know, my best friend or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like your shoes today, fabulous pink pumps, one of the first things I noticed. So you're right. Yeah, shoes and handbag.
Yeah, you do. You do. And my dad was, you know, fastidious about keeping his shoes shine and his hands manicured. Mm-hmm. And I look at that for men too. I'm always looking at shoes and hands.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you take the time to shine the shoes? Do you, you know, take the time to make sure your nails are manicured? Or if you're, you know, working on your boat on the weekend, please make sure you get all that grease out by Monday. Nobody wants to see that.
It's the details that count.
Yeah, it's the little things. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the thing about, you know, dressing is the little things. Like anything that doesn't make you feel like a rock star, you don't need to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Pitch it. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it.
And get over the guilt of spending the money. That's how I end up with all these clothes. I'm like, but I spent, like you said, so much money on this that just need to kind of cut. Don't worry about how much you spent. Just if it doesn't look good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. Like, if you buy something on an impulse buy, which, hey, we all do it, I recommend that you keep the tags on it for 2 weeks and keep your receipt. And if you go into your closet 2 weeks later and that item is still there, you don't love it. Take it back. You're not going to miss it.
That's a great tip.
Yeah, I do that with my 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. She's like, gotta have something. Got her clocks so there. It's going back. She doesn't even know.
Right.
Never knows. Like, yeah, I don't know, Murphy. I don't know where that went. Yeah. You didn't wear it. So it went back to the store is where it went.
Right. Good for you. That's great.
Yeah.
So anything else in the staples?
Jewelry? You know, really, I think jewelry, just keep it simple. Okay. I mean, I love big earrings mm-hmm. because I have short hair. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of my look, my uniform. If I'm getting dressed for something like this today, it's either a pencil skirt, a top, and big earrings, or a sheath dress. I will always have a statement earring on. Mm-hmm. But that's also to say that you can also do well with just a simple pearl stud or diamond stud. Classic. You can never go wrong with that mm-hmm. either. So I think it's just more of what is your style. If you like something big and bold, my personality is kind of big and bold, mm-hmm. so go with it. But if you're somebody that likes things just a little more simple and just easy, but still classic traditional, I think that's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
That's great. So I would say, as I'm thinking through a closet, how many pieces could you really get away with of rotating?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the capsule wardrobe was like the big buzzword for so long. And I think a capsule wardrobe is great. Is it realistic for most people? No, mm-hmm. because they get bored. However, if you have the right pieces and know how to mix and match, then it's awesome. Yeah. So when I shop with a client, we don't just do a onesie twosie here and there. Now, if there's a fabulous leather coat, it's like buying art for your home. You love it, you make it work, and it's your most favorite thing ever. That's great. But as far as shopping within a color palette that all works back, that's the most practical approach to shopping and to building a wardrobe, especially when you're building those investment pieces early on. And another thing, too, is just making sure that it's not too much. The general rule is 5 tops for every bottom.
Okay.
So if you wore the same black pants every day to work, I guarantee nobody would notice because you'd have a different top. And people notice you unless you have great shoes.
Right.
mostly from the waist up is what they're going to be looking at, like we are right now. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to notice that you had on the same black pants every day. Mm-hmm. So you need to try that.
I am going to try that.
See how that works.
Well, I can only imagine using services of somebody like you would, in the end, save money.
It does. Husbands laugh. They're like, yeah, whatever. No, but once they realize, once I work with the wife and see what we're doing, we're not buying things. Or I have some clients who will shop on their own, and then I'll get together with them, and I'll be like, take this back. And then the husband says, like, you see all this we're taking back? Saving you money. Here we go. So I think it is, and I love a deal. Like, I love to shop at the discount stores, Marshall's, TJ Maxx, and mix something with, you know, high-end that I got from Saks Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm. I just love the high-low look, and it's like the thrill of the hunt. Like when I find an expensive dress at Marshall's that I know I've seen at a boutique, I mean, I just do a little happy dance. I get so excited.
Do you buy it anyway and just say, do you ever buy stuff and think, I'm going to just, it's going to fit somebody? Like, even if it's not for you.
I do. I will say. Now, not if it's like, you know, terribly expensive, but like consignment
like that kind of
shopping,
steal.
For example, like gowns. Mm-hmm. I will find a gown and I'll be like, okay, this, I'll wear it, but if I don't wear it and somebody else can be like, oh my gosh, I have the best gown for you. Let me go to my closet and bring it out to you. And I just sell it to them for what I paid for. Mm-hmm. I don't mark anything up. And so I am guilty of that at times.
Yeah.
But I justify it because somebody will wear it and look fabulous in it if it's not me.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
It works that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Any other pieces that you can think of before we move to...
You know, I really just like it's just the basics.
Okay, yeah.
It really is. And I think if you're going to try a trend, because we all want something new and to try, just make sure you don't invest a lot of money in it or time looking for it. Like Target is great. They have such good pieces that are right there. They're usually very current and they don't break the bank. And then you can say, okay, I love this, you know, sheath dress, for example, a cotton dress. I love it so much. I'm going to wear this and see how I like it. And then if you love that look, invest in the higher end piece when you can.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the main thing is just shopping with a plan, with a purpose, and not wearing anything that doesn't bring you joy.
Yeah, very good.
Truly.
So I'd say one of the concerns I hear a lot is thighs.
Yeah.
As we
thighs.
Get older,
yeah.
The front of the thighs,
yeah.
Where you're like, so that's something I particularly struggle with.
Right.
So what do you suggest to still kind of look, especially in the summer, I struggle so much
summer's hard
with
for
what
everybody.
To wear.
Yeah.
What are some suggestions there?
Well, I'm a stickler for hemlines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like once you hit a certain age, like I said, gravity takes over. Our knees aren't so pretty anymore. Things are just not where they used to be. So I think it's about making sure that your hemline hits the knee. You can get away with a little bit shorter skirt, which I do in the summertime if it's an A-line, because it's not just so fitted. Because when you sit down, your skirt's going to ride up 3 inches. Mm-hmm. You're going to be showing a lot of leg. And that's not appropriate at any age. I mean, modesty is queen. Yep. I always say that. I say it to my young girls. I say, no matter what age, you know, you can leave a lot of the imagination by being covered up. Just make sure it's the right thing. So I think that's tricky in the summertime. A lot of women don't wear shorts, mm-hmm. But they have some cute dressy shorts now that aren't the Bermuda shorts, but aren't the, you know, shorty shorts either, that have a little bit of volume to them. So they're dressier and they're super flattering for all body types and ages.
Do you have a go-to store for those kind of shorts that you, or is it more of a style than a store?
I think it's more of a style. Okay. But I know that Loft has a great short every season called Riviera Short.
Okay.
And I'm not a big shorts girl just because I have an athletic frame. Sometimes I think they just aren't very flattering. But I've been able to find some that just kind of skim the body, dressier, crepe fabric or silk that you can wear dressy as an alternative in the summer to a dress or a skirt.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something this past summer that was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to the fall and winter, I mean, tights and booties and boots can be your best friend. And you can get away with wearing something a little bit shorter in the fall and winter if you have tights on.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of covers everything.
All right, so here's another problem area.
Yeah.
What about the back fat?
Oh, my.
I know. Is there a particular bra, other than working out and starving myself, which that is not proving to be a successful strategy?
I don't recommend that. Working out, yeah. Starving yeah. yourself, no.
I know. Yeah. I feel like sometimes you get those areas. But, yeah, so do you have any strategies? Or
my biggest thing that I recommend for clients, in addition to, and I failed to mention, so I'm glad you brought that up, for my female clients, is make sure you go and have a bra fitting mm-hmm. every year.
Mm-hmm.
And guys need to go have their measurements done by a tailor every year, because the scale may say one thing, but things change. And so what I find is probably about 80% of women are wearing the wrong size bra. Okay?
And we keep them for years.
Oh, and then the elasticity's worn out. They're threadbare. And you're like, okay, come on. And that can really make or break your silhouette.
Yeah.
I mean, I will have a client and I'll be like, I don't know where that bra came from or how long you've had it, but I'm taking it with me. And you're going to go to Dillard's and you're going to get a bra fitting and you're going to buy two new bras.
Right.
And that's something you build up over time. They're expensive.
Yeah.
Like $75 for a bra. And I don't like spending money on undergarments because you don't see it.
Right.
I like the pretty stuff, not the other stuff. But it makes a difference in how your clothes look to make you look pretty. So you got to make sure everything's in check and in place where it's supposed to be. And the bra is like the major, major piece that you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it goes back to, like you said, the back fat, making sure that that band fits correctly around the rib cage and that you have the right style. There's so many different styles out there and brands. And I mean, I'm very small chested and I mean, I love a pretty bra, but I don't like to spend the money, but it's got to fit and look good in my clothes so that you don't see those lines in the back. But I do think with exercise and doing the right types of exercise, which I'm a big proponent of, can help minimize that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So talk to me about, what's this called? Like waist, what's it called? How far it goes up your waist?
Hip to waist ratio.
Hip to waist. So, you know, I think for a while there, the trend was low. And then
yes.
you've got the muffin top that you're like constantly.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Is there a particular style name that we should be looking for as we're getting older and getting a little bit more around?
High rise. High rise is the key.
Well, wait. So what's the difference between high rise and mom jeans, though?
So the mom jean is actually in right
I know.
Now. We
no,
would
I
call
know.
The mom
yeah.
jean. But this is the thing. When you wear the lower rise, which I hope they never come back because they are so hard to wear, especially somebody like me with a long torso, they hit even lower. But if you wear something that hits you right at that part, I mean, it's going to give you a muffin top. Even Heidi Klum would have a muffin top.
Right.
And so the higher the waistband keeps the muffin in the pan, is what I like to say.
I love that.
You know, there's no muffin top if you have the right pant.
Right.
So that's the key. And if you're short-waisted, then you can wear one that's a little bit lower. There again, it goes back to knowing your body shape and knowing what proportions work. But the higher rise jean is where it is right now, and pant as well, and skirts. It just keeps everything kind of neatly tucked into place.
Yeah, I do see it often. And I, you know, so many times, you know, when I look around, I'm not judging, but you observe because you're like, are my pants looking like that? Do you know what I mean? And so,
like, did she look in the mirror before she left the house?
And I think when you're at the, you don't see the back so much.
People don't do a complete 360 in front of the mirror. They do a 180.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the world sees that other 180 that you don't see, and it's not pretty. I mean, there are times that I'm just like, ooh,
right.
I really want to go tap her on the shoulder and say, you know, that is so nice, but if you could do X, Y, Z and see the rear view, this would really help.
Exactly.
But I can't do that.
Right.
You know.
No.
I can't come and give my business card and say, hey, call me.
Right.
You look a mess, call me. It doesn't work that way.
I don't think that'd start off on the right foot.
No.
But it's like, you know, we can observe and see what we can do better in ourselves. And know, like you said, knowing our own body shapes and kind of having that in the back of our minds when we're shopping. I think that's a great tip as far as that thing that may look good on my 15-year-old, very well.
Yeah.
Not going to look good on me. But or even just friends, you know. Just
right.
I say that with skincare, you know, just because that serum is working for your best friend mm-hmm. does not mean it's going to work for you. You have totally different skin types.
Yep.
So same thing with clothing. It's not a one size fits all. And so I think that's great. So let's talk a little bit about hair and makeup, because I know, you know, seeing clients, being a licensed esthetician and seeing clients, and I never, and we've talked about this, I've never given advice unless mm-hmm. somebody asked me, but I've given my mom advice, I'll say that,
sure.
as she's getting older, that absolutely it makes a difference mm-hmm. between the makeup and the hair. And so what do you tell your clients when they ask you?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, because a lot of times when I am working with somebody, it goes beyond the clothes.
Right.
It goes into the diet and exercise.
It's the full package.
It goes into the hair and makeup. And so I think it's really important to seek expertise. You know, if there's something that I don't know, I'm quick to say, you know, I don't know the answer, but I will find somebody who does. And I'm the queen of outsourcing. If it's not in my realm of expertise, I will contact the person that is, and I will utilize their services. So when it comes to hair and makeup, oftentimes your skin elasticity changes. You know, I mean, you know so much more about that than I do with being an esthetician. But you have to just be able to roll with the changes mm-hmm. and accept it for what it is. Same
and
with
accentuate,
hair.
Right? Accentuate
yes.
the positive.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, like hair. We touched on this earlier before we started, but I'm just a short hair girl.
Mm-hmm.
I just am. I love some long hair. I love some braids and a pretty cute ponytail that swings when you run. But at the end of the day, it's just not me. I tried to grow my hair out 2 years ago. I gave it the old college try for 14 months, okay? And so we're driving to school one day, and my daughter, kids are so honest, looks at me. She says, Mama. And I said, yes, Murphy. She said, you're just a short hair girl. Your hair looks raggedy. You really need to cut it again. And she said, you know, I love long hair, but just not for you, Mama. And I was like, okay. So out of the mouths of babes. And from then on, I cut it off, and I can do a longer version of short, or I can do whatever to keep it, you know, current and different. But I'm a short hair girl.
Yeah.
So that goes back to, it's okay to have the same style, but you got to be willing to change it up, whether it's the style, the color, our hair texture changes as we age, color changes, and you've got to be willing to move with that. And I think the way that you age yourself the most with your hair and makeup is being stagnant.
Yep.
Not seeking those expertise to say, hey, I'm 47 now. My skin texture is not so good. Or this, I've got a little bit of this going on. What can we do to kind of, you know, make it a little bit better? And I think that's where it's worth the time and money to invest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Hair and makeup.
I love how you talk about kind of the holistic view, because that's really what this podcast is all about. You know, you can't take the clothes mm-hmm. and separate it from the hair and the skin. But then you also can't take the skin and separate it from exercise and nutrition. I mean, we are all one thing, mm-hmm. interconnected in all those ways. So I do love that you do talk to your clients, you said, about diet, exercise. And
well, I get the question a lot.
You get
how can I look better in my clothes? How can I have more energy? How can I do this? And I'm pretty high energy person. And so for me, what works may not work for somebody who's not quite as, you know, their lifestyle might not be as active as mine.
Mm-hmm.
So there again, just like your clothing piece, you put together a plan that's diet and exercise driven so they can have success and be the best version. But they also have to have goals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, this person's goal is not going to be the same as maybe my goal, but it's something to work towards every day. I mean, I wake up every day like, what can I do to be better today than I was yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I encourage my clients to do the same. Mm-hmm. What can you do that makes your day just, we call it a double diamond day at my house.
Mm-hmm.
You either have a stone day or a diamond day. And it's okay to have stone days, but I strive for a double diamond every time my feet hit the floor.
And when you make little changes incrementally, they turn out to be big changes.
Absolutely. And you've got to be patient and give it time.
That's
you
right.
didn't get where you are overnight, That's and right. you're not going to get there overnight mm-hmm. either. You need to be kind to yourself. And I think as women, we are so self-deprecating.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we'll find there'll be 20 things that are great, and we'll find that one thing that isn't, and then just hone in on it.
Absolutely.
Why do we do that?
I don't know. If we could change our brains and make, I mean, we'd all be happier people.
Yes.
Maybe don't look at yourself so long. I don't know. That's the only advice I have.
Well, and I think sometimes you just get so caught up in your world that you don't think about others. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's nice to focus on if somebody gives you a compliment, rather than saying, oh, no, I don't. Just say, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's right.
You know?
Yep.
Now, don't say, oh, I've got these old nasty jeans on. I'm good. Tell them thank you and be sincere about it.
You know, and just looking at you and your beautiful smile, I swear a smile is all you need half the time.
So true.
You will reverse your age by 7 years if you just walk around smiling.
I mean, I've earned these smile lines.
Same.
I am proud
of
them.
Feet. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's great. I mean, a smile can really, I mean, it's your best accessory. It truly is.
It is. And it just makes you approachable and just... I mean, we should all be happy. We're all blessed in one way or the other.
Exactly.
So, what else? Oh, so, okay, this might be a controversial topic because you said something about,
I'm all about it.
Braids. When should braids stop? Like the two braids coming down?
I think it depends on the aesthetic, what you're going to.
Okay.
Now, if you're going to a picnic or a barbecue and you want to do like a cute braid with a sundress, mm-hmm. I'm all about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think going into a meeting with other adults is appropriate
mm-hmm.
for a braid.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like you said, it is controversial. It's a matter of some people, that's their style and they own it and it's who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. If that's who you are and you feel good in it and it's your part of your uniform, then absolutely by all means.
Mm-hmm.
But from a professionalism standpoint, I think they are a little young.
Yeah. I kind of agree with that as well. All right, so to wrap things up, you know, we are all about empowering women. That's why we had this discussion. We're about aging confidently, which doesn't just stop at clothes. It's the whole thing. And one thing I think that helps us age confidently is to feel powerful and empowered for our mm-hmm. safety and our being aware of our surroundings. And I know that you are involved with is Unified Self-Defense.
Correct.
So
yes.
I would love, whenever I see those pictures on Instagram, I really want to get over there. And I feel like it's a piece that's kind of missing, just that self-awareness piece. Mm-hmm. So can you just talk a little bit about
sure.
it and then where people can find it if they're
sure.
interested?
So we just live in a different world today than we did even when we were our children's mm-hmm. ages. It's scary out there. Greenville is on the map. We're somewhat of a small town, but we're in the city. And so it's really important to be mindful of your surroundings and be aware. Mm-hmm. So I'm a survivor of a violent home invasion where I was brutally attacked 11 years ago. And for me, my sense of security is going to look different than what yours is. However, as women, we are all out there doing our thing day to day. And some people go about it and don't think about it. And some people are more mindful and paranoid about it. But for me, I took self-defense class a year ago, and the instructor, I reached out to him afterwards and started doing private one-on-one self-defense because I felt like I needed to be a little bit more prepared because of my history, and also just felt like it was a good tool to have in my toolkit. What I didn't realize is it provided another level of healing for me from the trauma that I had suffered from years before. And so as we were doing the self-defense classes, he's very knowledgeable, and his name's Terrence Brister, and just a great instructor. And he had the knowledge, but he said to me, you're the female with the story. So we decided to join forces, and like I said, he's been teaching for 15 years, but we decided to form Unified Self-Defense to empower men, women, and children. We have men that take our class too, and help them to kind of get those basic skills in. Now, you're not going to be a ninja after the first day, we tell people. That's kind of what we say at every class. However, studies have proven if you take one self-defense class, introductory class that we offer, you are 75% more likely to fight.
Mm.
In a situation than to freeze.
And you probably exude that confidence.
You do.
People are like, okay, I'm going to find the person who's a little bit more vulnerable than
exactly.
that
person. And that's what we talk about in the class. So our introductory class is a little bit of talking about criminal mindset. How can you kind of steer clear of those situations? Mm-hmm. How do you carry yourself? Walk tall, make eye contact. Don't be on your phone texting while you're walking through a garage, you know, going to your car. I mean, basic things that we think are common sense, People don't do. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big part of it, but really just the empowerment. It's interesting when we teach the girls' classes, middle school, high school, and college, they all kind of come into the class and they're kind of looking around, not really sure, you know, what to think. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? And then as we talk to them and as we do the warm-up and we start doing the kicking, the hitting, the strikes, the blocks, the kicks, they have this whole shift in their demeanor of just, they walk out of there taller. They will look to us and say, oh my gosh, if anything happens to me, I'm ready.
That's right.
And parents tell each other and we're like, this is why we're doing this.
That's right.
This is what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my daughter had severe PTSD from the home invasion. She was only 2.5. Mm-hmm. And so for her, she takes the class whenever she can. We've done a couple classes with her friends and their moms. But she seeks so much empowerment from the fact that I'm surviving and I'm teaching others to protect themselves. So it just really goes into every area of your being. It really does.
It's amazing. You turn that tragedy into something now that you know you may never know the life that you end up saving. You never know.
And that's kind of where I come from, Karen, is that this is my thing. We open the class with me sharing the testimony because this doesn't look like somebody who's a survivor of a violent crime. It can happen anywhere, anytime, any place to anyone. And so what I say is it's a passion of mine because I'm blessed that I was not killed that night. I'm blessed that I'm alive to teach others to protect themselves. And if we are able to save one life because they've taken our class and knew what to do, then we've done our job.
That's great. So are they on Instagram? Is that the best?
So we are on Instagram and Facebook, Unified Self Defense. Mm-hmm. And then my email is Ashley@UnifiedSelfDefense. And we do an open registration class once a month. And then we do private classes. And all it takes is 10 of your friends to come in and do a private class. And we've really done well with the mother-daughter classes. And what we have found the joy in that is it opens the conversation for the dialogue for the mother and daughter to talk about human trafficking or talk about, you know, a controlling boyfriend. I mean, domestic abuse starts early. Showing them things, the signs that happen. You know, if you have a boyfriend who's trying to pull you away from your friends and family or always makes decisions of where you go to a movie or where you go and have dinner, that's a red flag. These young girls need to know what to look for. And it opens the conversation for the moms and the daughters to have those, you know, have that opportunity.
It's fantastic. So this is in Greenville, South Carolina, but I'm sure there's, you know, programs across the country.
I'm sure there are.
So look into it. You know, if you're not local, look into it.
Yeah.
So kind of wrapping up, having access to information and resources is what this podcast is all about. So whether somebody would like your services now or in the future, what's the best way for them to find you?
Really through email.
Email.
A lot of the stores, local stores, have my contact information as well. And I don't want to alienate, you know, potential clients by not having a website or giving my information out there so heartily. But because of what I do, I'm very mindful and protective of my contact information. But I think they can reach out to you through the podcast.
They can reach
and
they can probably message.
They can message me through Facebook or Instagram.
And what's your handle?
It's my Instagram is Ambic, AMBICK, Style Envy. And then I'm just Ashley Murphy Bickerstaff on Facebook.
Okay, fantastic. Last question before I let you go. What does aging confidently mean to you in your own life?
For me, I think with every year that I age, it's just owning myself and being comfortable in my own skin. You know, as I'm getting closer to 50, I realize that no rolls off the tongue just as easily as yes when it comes to volunteer opportunities or community obligations or another job type situation. It's just owning myself and being true to who I am and not trying to please everybody. And my friends will laugh if anybody hears this today listening. I always say you can't pour from an empty cup and you got to make sure that your cup is full. And so I'm really, as I'm getting, you know, older and older, realize that the little things that used to matter don't, and the things that are important for a reason. And my circle is just getting smaller and smaller and tighter, and I don't apologize for
That's
it
right.
at all.
Good for you. Well, you are making it look stylish and fabulous and wonderful.
Oh, you're sweet.
Really appreciate you taking the time to give us so many great tips and tricks and things to think about when we're shopping. So I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be your first guest.
Thank you.
I'm so honored to be here.
Thank you. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you've learned something today that is helpful to you. If so, please share this podcast with your friends so we can grow our Aging Confidently tribe. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And we will be here in studio live every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Eastern. And lastly, we are all beautiful and have so much to offer this world, especially when we come from a place of gratitude and confidence. So let's age confidently together and turn the so-called midlife crisis into a midlife inspiration. See you next time.